Well, good morning. We're going to look at God's Word together now. And we're going to look at it from 1 Peter chapter 3. And you may want to be turning to that. Those of you at home, make sure you've got it open as well. And for those at home, you're going to need your phones at some point in the midst of the service to text me if you want to be part of the fun and the games, as it were. Not so much games, but you know what I mean. Let's have a look at 1 Peter 3 together. We're going to read verses 8 to 17. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Well, we're going to spend just a few moments looking at those. Let's just pray and ask for God's help. Father, we praise you and thank you that you are a God who speaks. And we pray that now you would help us to concentrate, help us to listen, and that you might teach us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the question. What does the everyday Christian life look like? What does it mean to live like Jesus? Especially as those who are foreigners, aliens, strangers in this world. How do we live differently? Well, Peter's been showing us to, in part, how to do that. He's shown us how we're to respond to the government. He's shown how we're to live as strangers, as those who we work for, as in our workplaces. He's thought about it in terms of marriage. And this morning is going to help us to think about it, how we get on with other believers, but also how we treat those who treat us badly. And look what Peter says. Firstly then, verses 8 to 12. Do good, be a blessing to all. Do good, be a blessing to all. Now I want to be really clear up front this morning, because much of what we will look at this morning will sound like, and you'll see it all the way through the verses, so maybe just have a little look. You'll see this all the way. It'll say things like this: do this, don't do this, you must, you mustn't, be prepared. And if we're not careful, it can sound like lots of rules that we must keep in order to be saved, in order to be friends with Jesus, or to remain friends with Jesus. But I want you to remember, we're halfway through a letter. It started with reminding us of what Jesus has done to save us in chapter 1, verse 3. His mercy and his kindness and the new birth that he has given us. And Peter has spent time telling us how we're saved through Jesus, through his death and resurrection. And he's told us about how Jesus died on a cross, in effect, to take the punishment for our sin and our rebellion, and to make us God's people as we put our trust and faith in him, that we've been chosen and set aside for Jesus. So what Peter is describing now is, this is how you live as a Christian. This is how you are to be as those who are foreigners and strangers. And look how it begins. Have a look, verse 8. It says, finally, all of you, that is all Christians, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. So first we're to be like-minded. That is, be together in how you think. Now, what are we to be together in? What's that thinking to be like-minded in? Well, I think Peter is summarizing all he's just said, but specifically what he started in 2 verse 11. Can you see what that might be? Have a look at chapter 2 verse 11. Now, any of the young people, don't shout out because we're not allowed to shout, but you can say it in just a normal voice. Can anyone see what it might be in chapter 2 verse 11? If you're at home, you can text me. Or chapter verse 12 may be even better summary for you. Anyone see it? Sounds like we're in community group. And what is it we're to be like-minded in? Have a look at 2:11 or 2:12. Anyone at home? Help me out. Well, let me tell you then. Obviously, we're a little bit nervous this morning. We don't want to. I think it's about living such good lives, isn't it? It's what we looked at last time, turning from sinful desires, doing good, living such good lives. I think that's what we're to be together in. That turning from sin and living in such a way that those around us see our good deeds and glorify God. That's how we're to think in this way. It's not just to be a few individuals, not just to be a few on this side or a few on that side, but all of us and all at home, we're to live such good lives. That's our mindset as Christians, living good lives that others will praise God. And part of that is how we treat each other. So we're to, see what he says, we're to be sympathetic. We're to care deeply about the needs and the joys and the sadness of others. We're to love one another as those who are strangers together in a foreign land. I mean, think about it. If we don't love one another, the world's not going to love us. Peter goes on, we're to be compassionate. We're to have mercy and kindness. We're to be humble, considering others more important. And I think one of the real encouragements of the past few months has been seeing how, as a church family, many have sought to love one another well, seeking to live such good lives in this way. So hearing of how people were phoning each other up, how folks were looking out for those shut in and unable to get to the shops, or leaving little baked goodies on doorsteps as a way of encouraging folks. And it's not just been adults who are doing this. I know a number of children and young people who have been thoughtful and creative in how they sought to love others within the church family. And in that way, demonstrating this idea of sympathy and compassion and humility and living such good lives. In other words, doing good and blessing others, thinking of others, keeping going in that way. But then Peter says, we can get that bit, to do good and love others. But then he says, do good to those who harm us. Verse 9. See, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. And blessing means do them good. And what's Peter thinking here? Well, have a look at this video, video 1. Just wait. Well, we'd have it acted out here, but we're going for a video instead. Them. may recognize the situation. Someone steals a cushion and takes it from someone else, snatches it, and the other person repays, immediately kind of hits them back, tries to grab it. Repaying evil with evil. Someone says something unkind to you, you are then unkind back. You want to get them back straight away. But Peter says, as those who are Jesus's, as his people, seeking to live such good lives, the way we're to respond to someone treating us unkindly, insulting us, snatching our cushion, is like this, video 2. See how different. Can you imagine households where that actually happened all the time? If you had brother and you treated your brother or your sister in that way. That, you know, they snatched the cushion from you and instead of hitting them back, you showed them kindness and forgiveness and love and compassion. You gave them a flower and you allowed them to keep the cushion. That's what Peter's saying. He's saying, do them good, bless others, just as Jesus said. So Jesus said in Luke 6, he said these words, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who ill-treat you, give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back, do to others as you would have them do to you. So how do we do good? How do we bless others who harm us? We love them. We pray for those who harm us. We give to them what they ask. They snatch what is ours and push us. We say, have it, use it. We don't demand they repay us in full for the way they treat us. We're to forgive and to be generous and to be kind. Now, of course, there are times when I'm to demand our rights, seek justice, including calling the police, especially if those who are harming us are breaking the law or abusing us or bullying us. Then we're to tell someone. That's not what Peter has in mind. He's talking about those times when you're at school and someone teases you, maybe for what you wear or maybe because you go to church. He says, don't tease them back. Or when someone pushes you or hits you, he says, don't push them back or hit them back. But instead actually seek ways to be kind to them and help them. When you're at work, someone says something unkind and gossips about you or does something against you. You're not to be unkind back. You're not to gossip about them. Instead, you're to seek ways to do them good. You're to pray for them. You're to look for ways to be kind and generous. You're to go out of your way to do so. Not getting your own back. Not getting what is due me. You're to bless. You're to do good. And look why Peter says we are, verse 9. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Presumably that blessing, that inheritance, is heaven. That's what Peter's called the inheritance in chapter 1:3, that we gain eternal life. But then Peter quotes Psalm 34. He says, whoever would love life and see good days must do this. In other words, there's reward, there's a good consequence of living Jesus' way. There's a goodness about it, ultimately fulfilled in heaven, but goodness now as well. And so Peter says, look, we must keep our tongue from evil, our lips from deceitful speech, turning from evil and doing good and seeking peace and pursuing it. Why? Look, verse 12. Because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, or on those who do right and do good. And God's ears are attentive to our prayers. He hears our cry for help to live in this way. He hears our cries of pain and sorrow. And he will make all wrongs right. He will bring justice. He'll repay the evil that has happened to us. And we can be certain he will, because look at that last line of verse 12. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And the reason Peter quotes Psalm 34 is because it's all about believers who are trusting God as they suffer, and that he will judge those who oppose his people. God will repay the evil and the wrong that has been done to his people. Which means, therefore, we, his people, don't need to repay it. He will. God will bring justice and do what is right, so that we do good and bless as He commands. But even more significantly, Psalm 34 is a psalm that foretells that Jesus would suffer. And Jesus is the example of a man who trusts God and doesn't repay evil for evil, but rather he loves and he prays for those who harmed him as he was nailed to a cross. And he prayed for those around him. He sought to do them good and to bless them. When they hurled insults at him, he didn't retaliate or speak threats. That's what Peter's told us in 2 verse 23. Just live like Jesus. Do good. Be a blessing to all. Be a blessing to those who are believers. Love them. Be like-minded. Seek to do good to them. But love those who seek to harm you as well. Don't repay evil with evil, but bless them. Do good. I think that's hard to do. I think we need the Lord's help to do it. Well, keep 1 Peter open, because I want us to think about the second point. Those one, do good, bless others, be a blessing to all. But the second point is this: do good, bless others, even if you suffer for doing right. Do good, bless others, even if you suffer for doing right. So if the eyes of the Lord are on you, that's what Peter's just said, and you're his, well then verse 13, who can harm you if you're eager to do good? Do you see what Peter is saying? With God on your side, who can ultimately harm you? You're safe. Safe in his hands. You have an eternity with him to look forward to. And with that in mind, Peter continues. He says, look, as we live as Jesus' people, as we seek to do good, to do what is right before God, as we seek to not repay evil with evil, not everyone will go, that's fab. Good on you. In fact, Peter says, as you live this way, you might suffer. See verse 14? But even if you should suffer for doing what is right, you're blessed. Don't fear their threats. Don't be frightened. Now, when Peter says suffer for doing right as you live as Jesus' people, he's not thinking suffering for just living as a good citizen, living in this fallen world. He's saying as you live distinctively for Jesus. And Peter's not thinking, as he writes at this point, suffering in terms of being persecuted by a government, or being beaten up or killed for Jesus. The suffering Peter's thinking of, as we've been seeing, is that of being left out, being spoken about, made to look foolish, not getting what is legally ours, not what we're entitled to, missing out costs. The other suffering might come, but that's not forefront at the moment, similar to where we are. So let me give you some examples. This is where we are going to have interaction, okay? So I want you thumbs up or thumbs down. At home, you can do thumbs up or thumbs down. Just to say on the last question, those at home got it? Just saying, according to the WhatsApp. A little bit slow in getting there, but they got there. So here's what we're going to do. If you think this is suffering for doing right as a Christian, you've put your thumbs up. If you think this is just suffering, just general, being part of this fallen world, then you put your thumbs down. Those at home, use the emojis. Okay, here's the first one. I teased, picked on for living in Hayward's Heath. Thumbs up or thumbs down? See what the... Absolutely, thumbs down. That was an easy one. It's going to get harder. I obey the teachers at school, as Jesus says, but then get picked on for doing so. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Thumbs up, absolutely. Yeah, we're getting the answers there coming in on the WhatsApp as well. That's great. Thanks, guys. Okay, here's the next one. I get teased because of the color of my hair. Thumbs down, yep. Okay, next one. I submit to my boss at work
as Jesus says, even though they don't treat me well. Thumbs up. The guys at home, they're going wild. They're just a fraction behind. But they're doing brilliant. Like the Kirkhams and the Hatleys and the Whitleys, they're all on it. It's great. Okay. We'll just give them a chance to catch up. Okay, here's one. I get ill all the time. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Thumbs down is just part of suffering in a fallen world. Okay, now concentrate on this one, particularly the children. I tell my friend about Jesus during maths class when we're supposed to be doing our sums, and I get in trouble. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Oh, there are some not sure. There's a thumb up, thumb down one. Oh, at home it's certainly coming in thumbs down. I think it's a thumbs down. I think it's exactly what Peter's been talking about. I think he's been talking about you're to do what is right. We're to submit to the authorities. The authority is the teacher. They say don't, you know, get on with doing sums. At that point, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. It's a great thing to want to tell your friend about Jesus. But doing what is right will mean doing it at the right time. What about this one? I tell people about Jesus in my coffee break, and I'm told not to talk about Jesus because it might offend people. If I don't stop, I'll lose my job. I think there's a thumbs up, yeah. I speak out against new laws on marriage, on gender. I dare to disagree, and I'm labeled a bigot or a homophobic. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Definitely thumbs up. Yeah, the thumbs up coming in here. Matthew Whitley just says, don't talk in maths. That's a fair point, Matthew. I mean, yeah, absolutely right. Unless the teacher asks, presumably, but not even then. Okay, now I want to give you a few examples now where I think Christians might start to think differently. But I want us to start to think, how might we be informed by the gospel by to do right, to seek to do things Jesus' way, but actually there might come a cost. See what you think about this one. My neighbor continually parks in front of my house rather than on their own drive. Yet for the gospel, I choose to let it slide. Don't gossip, don't complain, even though it massively inconveniences me by them parking there. I could complain, I could politely ask, I had the right to, but I choose not to for harmony, for relationship, because I know it helps them. Suffered in right or not? A bit more unsure now. I think he's getting into that area. It's not so obvious, but there's a cost to it, isn't it? I'm suffering. Yeah, it's mild, it's inconvenient, it's not the end of things, but I'm doing it for the sake of Jesus, to do what is right. What about this then? Someone hits my car, or my neighbor hits my car, dents it slightly. The law says I'm entitled to ask them to pay for it, seek insurance, but for the sake of the gospel, to love them, knowing they can't afford it, I choose to let it go, even though it will cost me to get it fixed. Yeah? These are just little areas, I think, where this is the whole idea of living to do what is right before Jesus, even when it costs us. This is how it cashes out in our world. Well, these are great. That was my last one now. Because there are other answers, aren't there? Where I might choose to forgo what is legally mine. I'm entitled to half of something, but I choose to let it go for the sake of the gospel, to show love and to be generous. You know, maybe I'm entitled to half of an inheritance, but for complicated family reasons, I decide just to let it go for the sake of Jesus. And I think we must get rid of this idea that sometimes comes, particularly kids, you might hear it, or adults will say it. You know, as Christians, we mustn't be doormats. And I want to put it out there this morning that that's anti-gospel. Because I think what it suggests is that I must stand up for my every right. And I think the gospel says you give up whatever rights you have in this world to do what is right for Jesus. We need to be wise. Sometimes to do right before Jesus is to use my rights. The Apostle Paul appealed for his rights as a citizen. But more often than not, To do right by Jesus will mean giving them up. Giving up what I'm entitled to live such a good life, to declare his praise. And I seek to do what is right and good before Jesus, and I'm not to be frightened by the world or their threats in terms of standing up for Jesus, in terms of speaking out for him, in terms of doing what is right, even when it costs me financially, emotionally, we're to suffer for doing what is right before Jesus, because, verse 15, have a look. Anyone tell me why we do it, verse 15? What did he say? Those at home will tell me. I've never been so popular on WhatsApp in all my life. You know what I'm doing, verse 15? Why am I not frightened? Why am I doing this? Who do I revere? Whisper it. Christ, that's right. Because in my heart... Thank you, Karatos. Thank God it there. Thank you, Philip and Shirley. In my heart, I revere Jesus as my Lord. That is, I'm more in awe and love of him. I'm more concerned to do what is right before him as my Lord and my King than I am concerned by what others think or do to me or get what I can. Doing right before Jesus is more important to me than anything else, including my own comfort, my reputation, my rights. And Peter says, as you live in that way, it's going to raise questions for people. You know, why don't you just retaliate? Why don't you seek payment and justice in your rights? Why do you bless them and do good to those who are harming you and it costs you? And at that point, Peter says, be ready, verse 15, to give an answer, to speak of your hope. That is not about being able to... Now, often that verse is about kind of defending the whole Christian faith, all the apologetics, etc. And there's a truth to that. But primarily this verse in context is about being able to tell people why you live in this way, why you're seeking to do good even when it costs, when you suffer for doing so. And the answer you give them is because you love Jesus, because of what Jesus has done for me and won for me, because I have a certainty of an eternal life. And so even if I suffer in this, it is but for a little while. And I'm following my Lord who suffered but is in glory now. That's the life of the believer. Are you prepared to say that before whoever asks? That I live in this way because I love Jesus. And he has done this for me, and I had this great hope of being with him for all eternity. So I'm prepared to suffer now for doing right. And we're to say it with gentleness and respect, not proudly, not putting others down, not thinking you're better than them, but gently and thoughtfully. And look at the results, if I can put it that way. Just have a look very quickly, verse 16. Clear conscience before God, because I've sought to do right before him, before Jesus. Those who speak maliciously about me will be ashamed on that final day. Peter spoke earlier about how when they see our good deeds, that they'll give glory. In other words, they'll be converted. But now those who are not converted, who won't give glory, they'll be ashamed on that final day. Because they'll see that what we did was for Christ, the one who is Lord. And verse 17, just look, we know it is better to do God's will, to do right, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. It's a great place to be, isn't it? To know that you are doing God's will and doing what is right, following Jesus' example, living for him, living his way. So will you seek to do good? Will you bless others, not repaying evil with evil? And will you do right even if it costs you, that you suffer for doing so as Jesus did? We're going to hear a song, and those at home are going to sing loudly. And that is, Jesus, I, my cross, I follow. It picks up this very idea. We're going to follow Jesus as he led, suffering for doing right, blessing those who harm us. This is the call of the Christian life, seeking to do good. It's not about me. It's not about my rights or my comfort. It's about him.